Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
In 2024, Ron DeSantis announced his campaign for president.
Our border is a disaster. Crime infests our cities. The federal government makes it harder for families to make ends meet. And the president flounders.
To build credentials for his campaign, DeSantis launched an aggressive effort to reshape one of Florida's public colleges. He targeted New College, a small school of only about 700 students, right on the waters of Florida's western coast.
It's another bold move, and I'm cheering it on. Florida's Governor DeSantis has launched the takeover, I'd call it a hostile takeover, of a college known for its ultra-progressive policies. He has appointed six new members to the board of the New College in Sarasota.
For the last 2 years, a remade board of trustees, a new president, and a reworked administration has openly attempted to reshape the school in the image of a conservative Christian university. It's part of a broader conservative so-called war on woke, and headlines across the state and national media have proclaimed the takeover to be an ideological success and as a valuable test run for similar takeovers across the country.
This is the story of a small public college in Florida that's become the opening move in a conservative counter-revolution.
What we are talking about at New College is we have the bones for a great liberal arts college. We have the opportunity to bring in the great thinkers, who have the great arguments, have the great discussions, and the byproduct will be students who graduate, who go out there and make a dent in the universe.
But as I spoke with folks connected to New College, I learned the reality is much more complicated than it seems.
I don't know that they even thought past the destroy part, because as we've seen, it is not hard to destroy a college, and it is very hard to build something new.
It's a story of dishonest political pretense and deliberate misdirection. It's about what happens to a school when it becomes a pawn in a political fight. I'm Ian Mont. This week on Campus Files, Hostile Takeover, the dramatic reshaping of New College of Florida.
I didn't really understand how unique of a college New College was until I really was there myself and immersed in the academic program.
This is Sam, a former long-term faculty member at New College. Sam asked to speak under a pseudonym for fear of retribution from current New College administrators. Sam's voice has also been disguised. Back when Sam first encountered New College, years before the dramatic takeover, it immediately stood out among its peers.
There's lots of things about New College that are really unique.
New College was founded in the 60s. Its first president worked with faculty to create an academic program that was fundamentally different from the traditional college experience, where one takes courses and receives grades, and with a good enough grade, you get credit for the course. New College created a whole different framework.
students thought about their coursework each semester, not as sort of separate courses or activities they were taking, but as part of a contract that they would negotiate with their faculty member.
It took me a moment to wrap my head around what Sam is describing. Basically, as a student at New College, you and your faculty advisor talk extensively about your interests. This could be anything. Maybe you're really interested in algae in the Gulf of Mexico, but also fascinated by turn-of-the-century American poetry. After establishing these focuses, you and your faculty advisor negotiate a contract containing a set of requirements for your semester.
They would negotiate with their professor, okay, I'm going to take these three courses plus a tutorial that I'm going to design with a faculty member on a special academic interest of mine. Of my four activities, I would like to satisfactorily complete three of them, and then I have satisfactorily completed my contract.
It's that simple. There are no grades, no pre-structured degree requirements, or anything of that sort. And you are explicitly allowed to fail, or unsat, short for unsatisfactorily complete a course, so long as you satisfactorily complete what your contract requires.
This whole context, the reason that New College was designed the way that it was to encourage risk-taking in academics. So that intrinsic motivation to learn for the sake of learning and to connect was happening just at this amazing level that I haven't really seen at many other places.
It was unique and for a long time was incredibly successful. In the 2010 to 2011 academic year, New College had the highest percentage of students receiving the prestigious Fulbright scholarship of any school in the entire US. But it also came with trade-offs. The same things that made New College unique and successful also made it hard to attract students. New College's expectations around teaching and learning were strange and unfamiliar for a lot of people. Students had to recalibrate to being so in charge of their own education, which made retention a bit challenging. But for the right student, there was nothing else like it.
The school did attract more non-conforming students, and non-conforming in a lot of different ways.
This is Alex. Alex is a current faculty member at New College and also spoke with us on the condition of anonymity for fear of retribution. Alex's voice has also been disguised.
These typically were the nerds in their high school class. Even if they didn't like school, which we did have some students like this, the traditional school system was not for them. It squelched their passion for learning. But then when they got to New College, they could rediscover that joy.
But a school full of non-conforming students can stand out in other ways compared to its peers. And over the years, that drew the attention of some politicians who described New College as a prime example of so-called woke gone mad.
Definitely students were liberal, but I also had students who were religious and also students who were conservative. So it was just not as it's been portrayed.
It didn't help that New College had also been dealt a bad hand from the state because of consistent underfunding. Requests for funding were often denied or reduced. And this led to issues on campus, like a leaky library ceiling or water damage in dorm buildings. And that, in turn, made retaining students even harder, which only gave politicians more of an excuse to deny funding and say the school was failing. But things began to turn around in 2021 when New College hired a new president, Patricia Oker.
She came in, she met with different programs, she had results right away. Like, she was talking to potential students on the phone, trying to not just sell them on the college, but like talk to them about what they were doing, what they're interested in. And so our enrollment grew. Her first fall after her first full year, our enrollment was up.
For the first time in a while, it seemed like New College was on an upswing.
I didn't feel like we were under the microscope. And I felt really good about, okay, they've hired someone incredibly competent. She loves this college. She's behind the mission. She's not trying to change the foundational principles, and she's having success. So it's like, finally, that's like great.
But in January 2023, this forward momentum was brought to a screeching halt when Ron DeSantis appointed a slew of hardline conservative trustees and made clear that he intended to fundamentally remake New College.
Isn't it crazy that America is turning 250 years old? I mean, look how far we've come. Now, we've got coolers in our sofas, light-up cup holders, and power-articulating headrests. When it comes to furniture worthy of this major milestone, Bob's Discount Furniture has all the styles, all of America wants at the everyday low prices we deserve, backed by tons of five-star reviews. Check out the Sedona Power Reclining Sofa, a genuine leather one-stop shop for relaxation with built-in charging, cup holders, and supportive bobopedic seats, perfect for lounging in the AC all day. You can even complete the look with the matching love seat and recliner. Throwing summer parties, the HomeWorks dining set features comfy bobopedic seating and clever storage built right into the table and bench. Or customize your space with the customer favorite modular Bob Sectional. It has over 1,000 five-star reviews, family-proof construction, and wireless charging for hundreds less than the competition. At only $250 per piece, building your dream sectional is incredibly affordable. Celebrate the 4th at Bob's. It's where America shops for furniture.
Ever start a new supplement and wonder, is this really working? You're not alone. Most supplements aren't easily absorbed, which means your body might not be getting the nutrients it needs. Symbiotica takes a different approach, with formulas designed for maximum absorption. Favorites, like their liposomal vitamin C, support a strong immune system and boost natural collagen production. And their newest standout, liquid colostrum, is essential for a healthy gut, packed with nutrients that soothe and restore the gut lining. Symbiotica's clean, bioavailable supplements help your body actually use what you take, delivering real results. And with a monthly subscription, it's easy to stay consistent. Symbiotica makes wellness simple. Ready to feel the difference? Go to Symbiotica.com and use code START for 20% off. That's Symbiotica.com, code START.
So a friend of mine works in Tallahassee and is more sort of plugged into the political world than I was. And he messaged me with the announcement about Chris Rufo being appointed to the board. And he said, this is bad.
That's Alex describing the morning of January 6th, 2023, when Ron DeSantis appointed six new trustees to the New College Board. DeSantis was able to do this because New College is a public Florida school.
He's, you know, not someone that's, you know, just send me a message for no reason. So for him to actually message and say this is bad, I don't know who Rufo was. Like, I missed that life when I didn't have to know who any of these people were. So that's when I started paying attention.
Chris Rufo is actually a pretty impactful figure, if you haven't heard of him. He's the one that manufactured the craze around so-called critical race theory in schools, which led to book bans and laws prohibiting certain topics from the classroom.
Critical race theory is everywhere. It's rapidly becoming the new orthodoxy in America's public institutions, and yet most Americans have no idea where it comes from and what kind of society it envisions. The stakes of this fight are incredibly high. It's not an exaggeration to say that a governing regime based on critical race theory would mean the end of freedom and equality in America.
He's also pushed the baseless and dangerous notion that LGBTQ people compulsively groom children to be transgender. And now Rufo was a New College trustee.
The shit hit the fan, like, right away. And they intentionally did things very, very quickly.
One of the first targets for the reshaped board was President Patricia Oker. The remade board was set to meet for the first time only a few weeks after DeSantis made his appointments.
There were a couple of weeks in between when the trustees were seated and when they had their first meeting. And those were just really awful weeks because we knew what was coming, even though you hope it's not going to come.
President Oker had only been in office for a short time by that point. And in that time, she'd made real progress in improving things on campus. Pretty much everyone sensed she would be the first on the chopping block.
I think everybody can hear me if I speak up, and so I'm calling the meeting to order, and we'll have roll call.
Trustee Anderson?
Here.
For a minute, I thought maybe they're not going to do this. She's doing so well. She's showing all these accomplishments. Maybe they won't fire her, but they did, and that was devastating. It's hard for me to watch that moment from that meeting without getting really teary. Still, 3 years later.
So I'd like to make a motion that we terminate President Oker based on the terms reflected in the board packet.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Discussion.
As part of the discussion, President Oker is given a chance to speak. For some context, the reshaped board is looking for a president who is willing to argue openly that New College is effectively brainwashing students, which President Oker is understandably unwilling to do.
President Oker, please.
I do not believe that students are being indoctrinated at New College. I understand there's difference of opinion about that, but I will not be persuasive on this point because I know it to be different. I believe that great change is necessary at this college. Great change on both some academics and a lot on facilities and some other issues. Great change. I'm not opposed to thinking about change. But our students are not indoctrinated here at New College. They are taught, they read Marx, and they argue with Marx. When our students take world religions, they do not become Buddhists in February and turn into Christians in March. We read texts, we engage with them, and we can read and be critical about them, ask questions. This is what we do here at this college.
Trustee Byerlein.
I'll just say that among the deep changes that Pat mentioned, I would add that the campus needs a deep culture change. You've sat up here, you've called us racists, sexists, bigots. We are now in a position of some position of authority in the college, and the accusations are telling us that something is wrong here. This is not the way for you to address people who actually have good intentions for the education of the young in America. You can disagree, but the attacks, the vilification, the insults show there needs to be a deep culture change on campus, and it should have happened a long time ago.
We have a motion and a second. I'm going to call for a roll call vote.
After some extended and contentious debate, the motion is finally brought to a vote. It passes, and President Oker's contract is terminated.
The motion carries. President Oker?
To the people of New College, it's been my honor and privilege to serve as your president for the last 19 months. Today is a sad day.
She's given one final opportunity to speak to the New College community, which she uses to tell a story about a song she often heard in church as a kid, and how that song reminded her of New College, a home for brilliant misfits.
I was blessed to be raised by parents with a deep faith in God. Between Sunday school, two services on Sunday, catechism on Wednesday, and choir, my siblings, my parents, and my grandparents and I spent a lot of time in church. Of those experiences, my favorite time by far was singing the song, "This Little Light of Mine." Know that you are truly loved here, not just for what you do, but for who you are, the light that is within you. Don't hide it under a bush. Let it shine.
The New College of Florida, one student telling me he's never felt such collective hopelessness among his fellow classmates.
Get rid of fashion!
Students and alums of the New College of Florida shouting their frustrations as board members leaf through a back door. It comes on the heels of a controversial vote to oust the school's president.
Soon after firing Oker, the board appointed Richard Corcoran as New College's president. Here's Sam.
He was installed as interim pretty much because he's buddies with some of the people on the board. Now he's being compensated over $1 million, you know, a year to lead a school of 700 students.
Richard Corcoran is only paid about $700,000 annually, but that is still twice the pay of his predecessor, President Oker. He also received a $200,000 bonus in 2024. After replacing the president, next came a whole slew of announcements about how New College was to be reshaped in an anti-woke image.
Since Corcoran's arrival, change on campus has been fast, furious, and consistently contentious. Despite student protests, the board eliminated the school's Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion office.
Corcoran introduced a new online partnership with Joe Ricketts, a conservative businessman who operates the nation's largest for-profit charter school company. He also unveiled a brand new Gen Ed course on Homer's The Odyssey, which was made mandatory for all incoming freshmen. The gender studies program was also abruptly shuttered. And one day, students were shocked to find a dumpster full of more than 10,000 books sitting behind the campus library. When videos were posted online, they quickly went viral.
Hundreds of books left out for the trash. This is an image that sent outrage through the New College campus and beyond.
Here's Sam.
I think one of the reasons that the book dump went viral was its parallels or connections to past experiences in our human history of burning books or destroying books, and one of those was in Nazi Germany.
The connection to Nazi Germany became stronger when students learned that a large portion of the 10,000 destroyed books belonged to a student-owned gender and diversity collection. Sam highlighted the parallels between this case and the Nazis' treatment of researcher Magnus Hirschfeld. Hirschfeld studied sex and gender and was an early advocate for the rights of queer people.
In 1933, the Nazi youth raided his institute and took the entire contents of the library out into a public square and burned it. And so many of the classic pictures that people see of Nazi book burnings, of a big bonfire with books and people standing around it, are actually photos of that particular research institute's books and materials being burned.
In an attempt to quell the outrage, President Corcoran issued a statement saying the destruction of these books was part of a routine process.
Corcoran and the New College administration was trying to make the argument of nothing to see here. This is just regular book weeding. You're all so emotional, overreacting to this. But then certain other trustees on X celebrating, yeah, we canceled gender studies. Now we're taking out the trash. You know, eat it, everyone. We're winning. And so which is it, really?
While many of the changes were visible, a lot was also happening behind the scenes. Right around the time Corcoran was hired, 5 faculty members were up for tenure. According to reporting, each had a strong case, but each was denied. Soon after, a whole slew of faculty resigned, were fired, or were forced out. In total, New College lost a staggering 40% of its faculty. Replacements were eventually hired, but a recent Florida law gave college presidents significant control over faculty hiring. Something which Corcoran took full advantage of.
The president would come in at the 11th hour after the faculty had gone through that whole process and had narrowed it down to their final 3. He would either reject some of those final 3, and then he would insert his preferred candidate. And then the committee would make a recommendation. The president would hire whoever he wanted for an inflated salary. So now we have faculty who were not chosen by their colleagues, who were brought in by the president. And I'm not sure those faculty really understood that until they got here. Like, I genuinely think some of them think that they were hired based on merit and not based on cronyism, essentially.
Faculty typically lead the hiring process because they know their field intimately. And at New College especially, they know what their students are looking for. But in 2023 alone, Corcoran overrode faculty hiring decisions 43 times. New College today has around 90 faculty members, meaning Corcoran, with no expertise outside of Florida politics, handpicked half of New College's entire faculty body in 1 year alone. The control over hiring, paired with other decisions like the closure of the gender studies program, paints a pretty clear picture. Here's Sam describing the philosophy of current leadership.
We want students to be exposed to the marketplace of ideas. We want students to be exposed to all these different fields, but not the ones that we don't agree with. Right. And so by closing down the gender studies program, the New College Board of Trustees is censoring, you know, or trying to censor the ability for that content to be taught. That seems like they've really lost the plot, I think, in terms of free and open inquiry on campus.
Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would.
Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Alex is willing to acknowledge that New College was not a perfect place, and that it had real problems that needed to be fixed. But at the same time, those problems were in many ways created by the same politicians who are now pointing to those problems as justification for a political overhaul.
What they do is they identify something that is true, like a piece of data or statistic, and then they make up the reason for why it's true. So it is true that we were struggling with enrollment, although, again, under the new president that had made an immediate U-turn and was going in a really positive direction, we did struggle with retention, but it wasn't for the reasons that they said. They said it was because of our toxic culture and not because of the rigor of the college. And it was true that our infrastructure was crumbling and that our dorms were moldy, but we didn't have money to fix buildings, and those buildings belonged to the state. So at any point, they could have stepped in to help us, and we tried for years to get money to fix this or put a roof on that, and they declined.
Richard Corcoran was actually the education commissioner for the state of Florida before taking the presidency at New College, meaning he was in charge of education funding.
So the fact that they came in and complained about how the infrastructure in the buildings were moldy and leaky, like those things were true, but it wasn't because we hadn't tried to fix it.
Some of the changes on campus appear on first glance to be successful. Take athletics, for example.
Your new College of Florida Mighty Banyans are now members of the NAI and Sun Conference as we head closer.
This is a trailer for Elevate, a series of videos about New College's brand new sports programs. The series it's advertising never came out, but the athletics program at New College has grown rapidly in the last couple of years. It's actually a bit hard to put into words quite how rapidly it's grown. Before the takeover, New College had no athletic programs at all. There were some club sports, but no athletics. At the time of writing, less than 3 years after the takeover, New College has at least 20 athletic teams. Now, athletics can be hugely profitable for flagship schools, so it's natural to look at this as a positive change. Here's Alex.
There was no funding for it beforehand. So you cannot just create like 20, I think it's 20 now, sports teams out of nothing for no money.
New College is still very much a cash-strapped school. Building out a sports program is incredibly expensive, especially when there are no existing sports facilities and when student athletes are often recruited on scholarships.
Even though the students are on supposed merit scholarships, whenever any team travels, they've got hotels that have to get paid for, Airbnbs, food. There's just an incredible amount of money. And you're like, where is this coming from? Right? Because they gave the college money, but a lot of that money was one time. It wasn't recurring. And then at the same time, faculty can't get money for things that they need.
Knowing this, the natural question is why invest so heavily in sports when dorm buildings are still unlivable and the library roof still leaks? Well, the answer is actually pretty simple. One of the best ways for Corcoran to show he's been successful is to increase enrollment. And a lot of prospective students want to do sports in college.
It's about getting bodies in chairs for them to crow about how they've grown enrollment, even though they've grown enrollment by throwing a bunch of money at the sports program and building it overnight. There are about 55 to 60% of our students are student athletes now.
I can't emphasize enough how extreme New College's pivot to sports is. The sheer amount of sports recruiting far outstrips basically any other school. In 2024, about half of the incoming student population were student athletes. Almost a quarter of the entire incoming class were baseball players. The University of Florida has 60 times the student body of New College. And in 2024, their baseball team had 50 players. New College, in that same year, recruited 73 freshman baseball players in spite of having no baseball facilities. And many of these students were recruited on scholarships.
So by getting into this athletics game, which has such high costs, when the legislature stops funding these huge scholarships, like, students aren't going to come pay to play on a JV team. So the this whole thing, the shell will fall apart. So I think it puts us in a really precarious financial position. It puts us in a position to just lose an incredible number of students overnight if they take away the financial benefit.
Here's Sam.
There's a lot of grift in this management that has gone into this whole project, but then a lot of really shoddy decision-making that's gone into trying to prove that it has succeeded. So the current administration is trying to prove that, yes, this has been a massive success. But if you peel back those first layers, if you peel back the AstroTurf, you'll find that there's really not been a lot of success.
The pivot to sports is just one example of many over the last few years. Corcoran announces something flashy and headline-grabbing that at first glance may seem exciting. But in most cases, the change either fails to materialize or, in the case of athletics, may have major consequences.
He is kind of like an old school carnival barker. Step right up. He uses the most hyperbolic language. Biggest class in the history of the college. We're doing things that it's very Trumpian too. Like, no one has seen the things that we are about to do.
The online program I talked about earlier that was a partnership with Joe Ricketts, that was announced but fell apart. A statue of Charlie Kirk was announced paired with an AI-generated image, but no funding or plans have been shared in the months since. The campus has been repainted and the grass replaced with AstroTurf, but students are still living in hotels off campus.
It's all hyperbolic language, beautiful exteriors, press releases, and big publicity stunts that are all, and it's rhetorical, right? Like, giving this carnival barker a chance to create a fantasy that he's trying to convince people is true, even though he knows it's not true.
New College continues to truck along with increased support from the state, but that situation will probably change in January of 2027. Governor Ron DeSantis has reached his term limits and can't be reelected to another term.
Because this is his project, and because DeSantis is the only person that Corcoran has to care about, once he is out of office, there is not a lot of political will to support this project. And when I say this project, I mean this amount of money, Corcoran being in charge. You know, he's the known entity within the legislature, and he's not liked. That's pretty universally known. Corcoran knows that himself. You're not going to pay for that. And so then what happens?
The whole time I've been reporting on this story, I can't help but feel that DeSantis and Corcoran are perfectly comfortable with the possibility of killing off New College. The takeover has garnered far more attention than a closure likely ever would. It seems like this project was only ever about getting rid of the old New College and getting a bunch of press in the process.
If the governor was so threatened by 700 students with blue hair that he had to destroy that college so that those 700 students did not have access to the quality education they were getting, I guess that was successful. The question always is it intentional or is it incompetence?
Do you think New College will survive?
Since its second year of the takeover, I have thought there's no way this college survives. And not because of wokeness or whatever, it's because of just poor management and no consequences for anyone making bad management decisions.
I asked Sam a similar question about the future of New College near the end of our interview.
Do you think New College will still be around in 5 years?
It's not, I feel like it's not, New College is not dead yet. There are still glimmers, you know, of the old New College there, if you know where to look. And people still doing their jobs well and trying to serve the students well. And I hope that they can persist as long as they can. Optimistically, maybe 10 years from now, if the leadership of the state turns over, like maybe it can return to where it was with even better facilities and things. Just seems a little bit bleak right now, but we can always hope for something better in the future.
If you've got a story idea, we would love to hear about it. Send us an email at campusfilespod@gmail.com. And if you're loving this podcast, be sure to click follow on your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode. While you're there, leave us a review and a 5-star rating. Campus Files is an Odyssey original podcast hosted by Margot Gray and Ian Mont. Our executive producers are Leah Reese Dennis and Lloyd Lockridge. Campus Files is produced by Ian Mont and Margot Gray. Sound design and engineering by Andy Jaskowitz and Zach Clark. Legal support by Laura Berman and Melissa Jean. Original music by Davey Sumner. Special thanks to Maura Curran, Josephina Francis, Hilary Schuff, Eric Donnelly, Kate Hutchison-Rose, Sean Cherry, Kurt Courtney, and Lauren Vieira.
Hey, it's Anna Sale, host of Death, Sex, and Money, the show from Slate about the things we think about a lot and need to talk about more. Many of us have something going on behind closed doors, like a listener we called Elizabeth, who told us she's a hoarder.
I see mess beyond probably what most people think of when they think of mess.
We'll work through it all together on Death, Sex, and Money. Listen wherever you get podcasts.